At the risk of sounding premature or ringing the bell too early, I do believe fall is just almost pretty much here. Yeah, I know there's still a month on the calendar, but I do not believe my assertion to be without basis. Why do I say that? Well, fishing's winding down. We're down to the silvers as far as salmon are concerned. Most local folks have shifted their focus from things in the water with scales to large land mammals that are covered in fur or migratory birds. Caribou and moose seasons are open across the area, as are many bird seasons as well. Schools have started back up again, or are about to. A sure sign, if ever there was one, that summer is over. I'd swear there's been a nip in the air of late, as early morning temperatures begin a slow spiral over the next few weeks, as they draw closer to the freezing point. One note of sadness is that the daylight hours are once again becoming noticeably shorter, a trend that will last for the next 4 months. And while far from something that's scientifically conclusive, there have been patches of leaves in the birches in my front yard that have turned a vibrant yellow in the last few days. Yes, it's once again farewell to summer and long live autumn. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. Actually, that last statement, just before introducing myself, is a bit misleading, as I'm sure many of you recognized. Long live autumn? Ha! Autumn across Alaska often feels like a season to be measured in days, not weeks or months. I've shared before that I had a teacher friend in the village that used to joke she hoped fall happened on a weekend, so she could get out and enjoy it. No, it often seems like it doesn't take a lot of stepping to get from summer to winter up here, which, as much as I like winter, really makes me kind of sad because fall is absolutely my favorite season, and for a great many reasons. The aforementioned cooler temperatures, no biting insects, the changing colors of the vegetation, stunningly beautiful sunrises and sunsets, football season, hunting seasons, trapping season, and Thanksgiving all make the list for why I feel that way, though those last two are almost more consigned to winter than fall in our fair state. As we near another finish line for summer, let's take a look at some of the good things about fall, as well as some things you can be doing to be ready for what comes after it. But before we do that, have you ever considered why it carries the names that it does? Fall and autumn? Well, it's not exactly clear. The name fall is probably exactly what it sounds like, the falling of the leaves. We do know it's been called that for over 5 centuries, so it's nothing new. Autumn, meanwhile, is thought to come from the Latin word autumnus, which possibly is derived from an Etruscan word which means to dry up. The word autumn began to be used at about the same time as fall, in the 1500s, and both words replaced what came before them, which was harvest. Harvest would make a lot of sense around here, as folks are out trying to harvest a moose for winter. As for the name fall, why do leaves fall, at least for deciduous trees around our area? Certainly the changing of leaf colors is highly symbolic of fall, here and even more so across much of the lower 48. In case we have any elementary kids listening, or folks who just didn't pay attention in science class, deciduous trees are the ones that have leaves that do change colors and the leaves fall off each year. Around here, that's largely trees and shrubs such as birches, alders, cottonwoods, and willows. Trees are adapted to the climate of where they grow. For example, broadleaf trees that grow in tropical areas keep their leaves all year. However, up here they do not wait for their leaves to be damaged by the ravages of winter before losing them. No, the leaves come off before things turn harsh. So instead of facing the risk of damage due to the cold, trees enter a period of dormancy rather than continuing to actively grow during the winter. On such plants, the leaf is connected to the branch by what's called a petiole. Near the base of the petiole is an area called an abscission zone. Abscission is just a big word for cutting off. A layer of cells along the abscission zone, called the separation layer, becomes physiologically active in the fall and starts secreting special enzymes that break down the layer connecting the petiole to the rest of the tree. These cells separate, with the end result being that the leaf eventually falls from the tree. The color change happens because during this process, the tree begins to break down chlorophyll, which is responsible for the green, and other compounds which have other colors become briefly visible until the leaf dies. For those who enjoy viewing wildlife, a loss of green can make it a bit easier to spot critters you might not otherwise see when things are green and dense. Also, A lot of animals are a lot more active at this time of year, which also increases the chances you'll see them. Some of you might be thinking, if that's true, why isn't it any easier to find a bull moose right now? The answer is that bull moose are very adept at reading the hunting rags and know when to keep a low profile. Just kidding on that. Many animals are out, though, feeding heavily in preparation for winter, with some, such as bears, putting on the fat for another season of slumber. Others are simply more active because the temperatures are a lot more agreeable, or because mating seasons are either underway or close to it. The next few weeks will see an increase in bird traffic, as our migratory species start to pack it in and look for more southern destinations. A week ago, I was camping down on the Nishgack Peninsula, and there were a number of species that won't be around much longer, including many duck and goose species, sandhill cranes, various songbirds, and a whole lot of both common and Pacific loons. If you like birding, this can be a darn good time to be on the lookout for a number of species as they pass through headed south. And speaking of birds, the coming weeks can be a dandy time to get bird feeders ready for the winter. For those of you who put feeders out in an effort to lend a hand with those species that hang with us all year long. As I've mentioned before, if you decide to go that route, don't drop the ball when it gets cold. If you get birds acclimated to free handouts at your home, keep it up all winter long. While I'm somewhat heralding the death of summer, there's still time to get out and get berries for the freezer. Even as many are looking for meat for the freezer as well. During that trip last week, my youngest daughter gorged herself daily on some very healthy-looking blueberry patches, so there's still time to get a bunch bagged and frozen. One thing that's really cool about fall, if you like wildlife or maybe hunting, is watching the antlers of caribou and moose reach their peak as far as growth and then lose the velvet that covers them as the hard bone underneath is exposed. As probably everyone knows, antlers are shed and regrown each year. In the case of caribou, both bulls and cows have antlers, and for moose, it's a bulls-only proposition. The velvet, as it's called, that you see on antlers right now that will soon be shed, is a thin skin covered in tiny hairs. The skin covers a vast network of blood vessels that nourish the growing antlers beneath. The tips of antlers are cartilage that's replaced by bone tissue as the antler grows and develops. As growth ends, the blood stops flowing, and the velvety skin covering is scraped or rubbed off by the animal, often on trees or shrubs. Sometimes strips of it can be seen hanging from antlers. After the velvet is gone, the antlers are rubbed and polished on trees and shrubs and take on a brownish color, and can have a smooth, polished appearance. Antlers that are covered in velvet today will have an entirely different look a month from now. On a more personal level, fall can be a great time to reacquaint yourself with some of your favorite garments or perhaps to purchase new ones that might someday wear themselves into that role. That crisp fall air can make a particular fleece coat or a pair of hiking boots just feel absolutely right, with the warmer days of summer behind us and the more bone-chilling days of winter yet to come. In my opinion, fall clothes are some of the most comfortable clothes I have in my closet, and it's always a pleasure to wear them when they fit the season the best. From an old pair of Danner boots to a Micro Berber fleece coat. Of course, clothes like that feel the best when you're out and about, such as hiking up a mountain or walking through the woods. Another thing I like about fall are the sounds of fall, and to my way of thinking, they can be much louder and starker than they are during other seasons. Sounds such as a flock of geese passing overhead to more subtle sounds, such as a moose somewhere in the thick of the trees, in front of you gently grunting back, trying to discern where you're at. Sounds of fall that I find calming include the wind through the trees, water trickling over rocks as it makes its way to larger water, spruce grouse taking flight, or the slap of a beaver's tail on a pond, letting you know that you've been spotted and you're not exactly welcome. Another sound that's really neat to hear is the sound of absolutely nothing at all, to be able to sit on a ridge with your back to a tree and not hear anything but your own thoughts. Rural Alaska in the fall is the perfect place to pull that off. And it's not something you can do as easily when the insects are still buzzing. There's one other sensory item, and that one involves taste. I really like the way a good cup of coffee tastes when the weather's cooler, perhaps while out hiking or simply working in the yard on days like we typically have in the fall. If you're not a coffee drinker, this probably doesn't resonate with you. Feel free to substitute hot tea if that's, you know, more your cup of tea. The bottom line? We're at the cusp of the beginning of another fall. To that I say, simply outstanding. My opinion is, as always, that folks should be getting outside and doing stuff anyway, regardless of the weather. But the fact is, fall weather is often perfect for just about anything you could want to do outside. I do believe the English poet John Donne was of a like mind when he penned this sentiment, "No spring nor summer beauty hath such grace as I have seen in one autumnal face." To everyone listening, enjoy the coming grace. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.